Our text this morning comes from Matthew's Gospel. We are hovering in chapter 13 for a few Sundays as Jesus tells parable after parable to try and describe and explain what the kingdom of God is to the disciples, even the Pharisees who were in attendance. They were listening, trying to trip him up, and to the crowds around him. And the reason why this is so important is Jesus came announcing in the first chapter of Mark that he was there to bring the good news about God. In other words, the good news about the kingdom of God, that the kingdom of God was here. And so hear these words from Jesus. Jesus told the people another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while everyone was sleeping, the enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and then went away. When the wheat sprouted and formed heads, then the weeds also appeared. The owner's servants came to him and said, "Sir, didn't you sow good seed in your field? Where did the weeds come from?" "An enemy did this," he replied. The servants asked him, "Do you want us to go and pull the weeds up?" "No," he answered, "because while you're pulling the weeds, you may uproot the wheat with them. Let them both grow together until the harvest. At that time, I will tell the harvesters, 'First collect the weeds and tie them in bundles to be burned. Then gather the wheat and bring it to my barn.'" Jesus left the crowd and went into the house. His disciples came after him and said, "Explain to us the parable of the weeds in the field." Jesus answered, "The one who sowed the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world, and the good seeds stand for the people of the kingdom. The weeds are the people of the evil one, and the enemy who sows them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the harvesters are angels. As the weeds are pulled up and burned in the fire, so it will be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will weed out of his kingdom everything that causes sin and all who do evil. They will throw them into the blazing furnace, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father." If you have ears, make sure you hear this. This is the word of the Lord to us today. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. God, thank you for going to a lot of trouble to communicate to us who you are, what your kingdom is all about, and what this means to us as your people. So Holy Spirit, come and speak to us through the word, through me. We all have ears, so we all need to hear this. Please open the ears of our hearts that we may truly hear what we each as individuals and together as a faith community need to hear, so that we can grow more and more into the people that you've created us to be. We ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Last week, the parable that we looked at was the parable of the sower and the seeds. If you remember, the seeds was the message about the kingdom of God and what that was. The sower was Jesus, and the bottom line of the message that Jesus had as he talked about all the different types of soil that the sower just very generously scattered all over was, be generous with the message of the kingdom, not only in the words that we speak, but in the way we live our lives, the way we act toward each other, and our attitudes. Today's parable is similar in that it has seeds, but the seeds are people, and it has a sower. And again, the sower is Jesus. The bottom line for today in what Jesus is telling us, he was telling the people then, the disciples, who were having a hard time wrapping their minds around what the kingdom was and who Jesus was and all of the opposition that they were facing. Jesus was talking to them at that time, but this carries through to where we are today in very real ways. And the bottom line is to be patient. You see, back in those days, the religious leaders, the Pharisees, were opposing Jesus. They were preoccupied with who was in and who was out, who was righteous and who was a sinner. And they had actually created a system that would, no pun intended, weed people out. If you kept the laws or kept the rules that they created in their system and you went along with their system, aligned your life and your value systems, your values to their system, you were okay. You were in. But if you didn't, or if you couldn't, see, most people just could not, it was not within their reach, then you were out. You were a sinner. You weren't as good as the people who were on the inside. In chapter 12, just the chapter before the parables that we are looking at this month, the Pharisees had heard enough, and they had gotten together, and they were plotting to kill Jesus. They wanted to get rid of him. I suspect it was because they were facing opposition they had not expected, but the opposition that the Pharisees were facing or were experiencing was a very different opposition than they had ever encountered before, very powerful, because the people were responding to the message of God's love and grace and forgiveness in Jesus. It was good news to the people who were definitely out. Definitely good news. In our world today, in the church world that I grew up in, it was very similar. The religious leaders created a system to determine who was a good Christian and who was not, and who was in and who was out. And if you did things the way they said, and you looked the way they thought you should look, then you were in. But if you didn't, you were out. And it seems to me, as over the years as I've grown up, and things really haven't changed much in this 21st century, people are very judgmental toward each other in deciding which behaviors are okay and which behaviors are worthy of condemnation. And if you do certain things, then you're not a good person. We need to be patient with each other because, as I told the children, we're still all growing, aren't we? You see, in the parable that Jesus told, the good seed, the people of the kingdom, they're just people who went along with Jesus, who adopted the kingdom values, and they were receptive to the kingdom message that Jesus had and was inviting people to join, to come into the kingdom, because God wants everyone in the kingdom. The evil people were just people who were opposing what Jesus was doing. Now, life is not black and white, is it? Life has a lot of gray areas to it. If you want to think of the disciples that Jesus had, they weren't all good seed to begin with. You have the first one that comes to my mind, and maybe your mind too, is Peter. Peter was always putting his foot in his mouth. He always had a lot of energy. He had a lot of zeal, and he was a very, very committed follower of Jesus. But then it seemed like Peter would go off in different directions, maybe not even knowing it. You remember Peter when Jesus was coming on the water, and they thought that Jesus was a ghost because he was walking on the water, and people just don't walk on water. And Peter was a fisherman, and he knew. But when Jesus identified himself and said, "Don't be afraid, it's just me," Peter said, "Can I walk on the water too? Let me at it." And he wound up needing to be pulled out. Peter also, at one point, Jesus was trying to describe to the disciples the fact that he was going to have to suffer and die, but that he would be raised to life again after 3 days. And Peter said, "No, Lord, you can't do that. You can't die." Peter didn't know what he was saying, but he was opposing Jesus. And that's when Jesus said the very famous statement, made the very famous statement to Peter, "Get thee behind me, Satan." In other words, evil would not want Jesus to die and to experience resurrection for us. Evil would want to stop that, God's redemption plan. And Peter was opposing God's plan unknowingly. James and John, they were fighting, a verbal arm wrestling as to who would be first in the kingdom of heaven. Who, Jesus, which one of us gets to sit at your right hand when you come to your kingdom? Is it me or my brother? Pick me. And Jesus said, it's not like that. It may be that way in the world, but there is no pecking order. There is no competition or rivalry or favorites in the kingdom of God. Everybody's on equal footing. Then there was the time in Acts chapter 1, just before Jesus was taken up to heaven, where the disciples asked him last minute question, when will the kingdom of God become fulfilled? When will it be totally here? When will it be like the good old days when God ruled through like King David? When is that going to happen, Jesus? And Jesus said, that's none of your concern. Only God, only the Father knows this time. But what I want you to do is to go out into all the world and preach the gospel that I've been preaching to you. That's what I want you to do. So, guys, be patient about when the kingdom will come in its fullness. I have work for you to do. Do this work. Today, people are always trying to figure out when Jesus is going to return. People settle on dates, they crunch numbers, and they say Jesus is going to come back on May 23rd or October 23rd. We need to be patient. Jesus is telling his followers to be patient. The last thing that I think of when I think of impatience and getting off the track is after Jesus was risen, and just at the very end of John's gospel, you remember Peter denied Jesus 3 times, and he felt really bad about it. Well, once at the end of John's gospel, he did encounter his risen Lord, and do you remember Jesus saying to Peter, "Peter, do you love me?" "Well, yeah, Lord, you know I love you." "Feed my sheep." "Peter, do you love me?" "Well, Lord, yeah, I love you." "Tend to my lambs." "Peter, do you really love me?" "Lord, my feelings are hurt now. I already answered that twice. Yes, I really do love you. Take care of my sheep." And then he says, "But what about the other disciple over?" And then Jesus said, "Follow me." And Peter said, "Well, what about him? What about him?" And Jesus said, "It's none of your concern. It's do what I told you to, and let me worry about him." He was unnamed. We get so impatient. We want to know what the end result is. We want to know when is it going to happen, and we want to know answers, and we want to know them right away. Jesus is telling the people over and over again to please be patient. I have a plan, and it will work out. Just stay on task, and you'll know what it is. And he tells us not to judge each other. Just do what I want you to do. You see, in the parable of the wheat and the weeds, the type of weed that we're talking about was a very common weed back then. Now, I'm not a farmer, so it might be still a very common threat to wheat crops today. It was called bearded darnel. And when it grew up, once it was in the soil and it started to grow roots, the roots would wind their way around the roots of the wheat plants, and they would become intertwined. And then as the wheat and the weed would grow up together, They looked very much the same, and you really couldn't tell one from the other until they started to sprout heads. Then you could tell, oh, we've got a problem here. But if you pulled out the bearded darnel, because of the root system being all tangled up underground, you would uproot the wheat before it was ready to be harvested. So back then, they did have to let the weeds grow with the wheat. And what they would do is they would cut out the weeds, bundle them up, and the seeds from the weeds were poisonous. So they really couldn't do anything with these weeds. But they did find a good use for them. They would dry it out and burn it for fuel. That's why the sower of the good seed said wait, and why he told them to wait, let them grow together. Be patient. Now, every metaphor or word picture breaks down somewhere. And certainly this is true with our parable today. I have to say that God is telling us to be patient with each other. Jesus is saying to be patient with each other and not try to draw lines in the sand or separate ourselves from each other, because we're all still growing. And God, we need to allow God time and space to work God's work of grace in each of us. In this world, there is no black and white as far as people are concerned, because in each of us, our hearts are to follow Jesus and to live in the kingdom and to further the kingdom of God and to be very generous with the message and live the way Jesus would have us to. Lives that are loving and forgiving and merciful, kind. You get the picture, I think. Sharing with each other, being patient with each other. But then there's also the other part of us, too, that there are times when we're ornery, when we don't feel like forgiving or being kind or generous or going an extra mile for another person or putting my desires, what I want to do right now, putting that aside in order to support another person. There are just times when we don't want to. So there's a little bit of the wheat and a little bit of the weed that we all carry around. The good news is that God is infinitely patient with us, and that God's grace does not favor one of us over the other. God's mercy, new every morning. What we are called to do as we continue to practice patience with each other, and I know I need to practice patience with myself, is to continue to do what Jesus would have us to do. It's to continue to grow in our faith, continue to love each other, love God, and serve according to the way God is calling you to serve. Another thing that this parable tells us is that even though there seems to be much in this world that opposes God's ways, that God is stronger than the enemy. At the end of the parable, the weeds are removed. So the sower is Jesus and the weeds are removed, whatever that may mean. And that God is still in control, even though sometimes it seems that God is nowhere to be found, especially as we look at what's going on in the Middle East and the wars that are all around the world. It doesn't look good, but you can be sure that God is still in control and working in ways that we're just not aware of. And you can be sure, too, since it's God's job, that God will do the sorting between what is good and what is evil. It's the generosity and patience modeled by Jesus. These are gifts of God's grace to us. Gifts of grace, because this is what we need. and gifts of grace that we have to offer to other people, not only here in our church family and in our own families at home, but our coworkers in our neighborhoods and beyond, people that we just meet at the grocery store. We need to be patient and allow God to do the sorting. I've confessed last week that I do not have a green thumb in Florida. I did pretty well in the Chicago area. I grew vegetables and herbs and beautiful flowers. I just can't seem to make it work here, though. Well, I had done a great deal of planting perennial beds in our front of our home up north. And I used a seed catalog. And I don't remember the name of the seed catalog, but all I had was pictures to go by. They weren't plants. They were seeds. And I would put them in, and everything, the flower beds were pretty much mature and full, but I wanted some Missouri primrose. And it was pink, and it was beautiful, delicate flowers, and the leaves were nice and green. And I put them in one year, and it took a long time before anything came up through the ground. And it was green. And I thought it was a weed. So I pulled it all out and wondered, where was my Missouri primrose? Well, the next year I planted it again. But when the green shoots came up, I decided to let them be. Before you know it, they had pretty pink flowers on them. And I had learned the hard way that I couldn't tell the difference between what was the primrose that I was planting and the weeds that I thought had come up the year before. I couldn't help but laugh when I read this parable. I couldn't tell the difference. I was in a church some time ago where there was dissension and division, and it was present and it was active, let's say. And before I got there, new elders had been elected for session, and part of my responsibility with another minister was to train the new elders in what it meant to be Presbyterian elders and what that type of calling involved and what our responsibilities were. And there were a couple of people who were new elders who were part of the dissenting group that was making trouble in the church. And I thought, oh, this is not going to be pleasant. Well, we started the training with opening up scripture to see what God says about being an elder serving in the church and all that, you know, how Jesus calls us. And as I sat there, it was two women. One woman was to my right, and one woman was straight ahead of me at the other end of the table. We prayed, we looked at scripture, we had a lovely conversation, and I saw the faces of these women change. Now, at first, I thought it was going to be kind of a rough day of training, and that there would be arguments breaking out. Boy, was I wrong. Was I wrong? I had not even considered the fact that the Spirit and the Word would come together and do a work of grace in these two women. And they were not part of the dissension. They saw what was wrong, and they decided they would have nothing to do with the people who were making trouble in the church. That was being patient. The lesson that I learned, to be patient and let God do God's work. And God is faithful to do God's work in our own lives, to be patient with ourselves, be patient with each other, because we need each other. Yesterday, the elders and the deacons joined the session and the pastors from First Presbyterian of Brandon for a day of retreat and refreshment and fellowship and good food. And we did it was like an abbreviated condensed study, and there was a lot of interaction, and we moved from group to group, so you really weren't with the same people the whole time. And in our discussions, what I learned, or what I heard over and over again from different people, from their own personal experiences and their current life life situations and challenges was how much we need each other. And who has been significant in your life in supporting you and influencing you, and how is it that you've come to this place? And it's always, you know, oh, my husband couldn't have been more, he couldn't be more supportive than he is. And oh, my friends at church, they've always been there for me, and it's my family and my kids. I mean, it was always, I said, so what I'm hearing is that we need each other. And it was, yes, we do, we need each other. Well, that's because God has created us to need each other in community and in good friendships that are loving. So what that means for, that means that that is for each of us where we are as individual disciples of Jesus. It's for where we are in our families. But today we gather as a church family, and it is for us today as a church family, as a community of faith. We need to be generous with the kingdom of God toward each other because we need each other. And this is the work Jesus has given us. We also need to be patient with each other and allow God the room and the time to do a work of grace in each of us. Because that is what God wants to do. And through the whole time, as we're being patient, I don't think we could be patient without trusting God to do what God wants to do. Allowing God to lead us as one body and following together, loving God, loving each other, and serving God as God would have us to. Keeping in mind that the way God leads us is always in our best interest. Let's pray. God, thank you for being generous toward us, being generous with your gifts of grace. Thank you, God, for being patient with us. Oh, so very patient and kind. Help us to internalize your word to us today, to take it home and meditate on it. Holy Spirit, give us the energy and the motivation to act on it.